Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill. I am hosting the show today in place of Dr. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is with his son, who, as many of you know who listen to this station, is in a hospital battling COVID-19. And this has been going on for about 3 weeks now. And you have heard me many times ask that you pray for Dr. Youngblood, for his son, and for his family. We need your prayers, saints. Prayers work. Please continue to pray for him. Recently, he's taking a bit of a turn for the worse, but that's why prayer is so necessary. So, saints, please continue to pray for Dr. Youngblood. This is Mike Hill. I'm from the Florida Panhandle, the Pensacola area. I'm a small business owner and was previously in the Florida State House of Representatives for 5 years. I am pleased to say that today I'm going to be joined by Dr. Chris Harris. Dr. Chris Harris is the founder and chairman of the Citizens for American Foundation. It's one of the nation's leading advocacy and grassroots public policy organizations. Chris is a Christian political advocate, Second Amendment defender, Christian apologist, and author. He is the host of the Christian Perspective with Chris Hughes. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, it is such an honor to be here with you today. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, absolutely. We have an awful lot to go over today during the show. And before we get to that, let me begin with this. Let's Face the Issues is brought to you in part by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time also has a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including Honda and Echo generators. Tools for a Time staff can answer all of your homeowner and professional and backup power equipment questions. They're located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, near the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. Right at the base of the gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. You can reach them online at toolsforatime.com. That's toolsforatime.com. Okay, Chris, we have many items to cover today on the show. And listeners, we would encourage you to call in with your thoughts, with your comments, or if you have any questions. You can call in at 904-831-0917. Again, 904-831-0917. One of the items I wanted us to start off with today, Chris, was an article that I read about a week ago that it says that parents in California have sued the state for forcing students to pray to the Aztec gods of human sacrifice. Were you made aware of that, Chris?
Mike, I saw that same article, and it's really a terrifying time in our nation when any religion at all is approved and accepted, unless you are a follower of Jesus Christ. There have been cases where children have been told they can't even pray over their lunch, where children have been told that they can't read their Bible, and this has gone to a higher court level to decide whether that can be done in school. And then here you have a teacher who is telling these students they weren't just praying, they were chanting and making incantations. It's really a pagan thing that is being taught, and that's happening, folks, not just in California, but things like that are starting to happen all over the United States of America today. And we need to be concerned and pay attention about what's going on in our schools.
You know, what's utterly amazing about that, Chris, is that our founders were explicit in making sure that the state would not set up a religion that people had to follow. And even though our nation was founded on Christian principles, that we are indeed a Judeo-Christian nation, they still wanted to make sure that the state was not going to establish a religion forcing people to adhere to that religion. That was exactly what they fled from in Europe. And here we're seeing in California that the students are being forced, and that is the correct word, forced, because if you do not participate, what would happen? You would likely get a failing grade. You might get disciplined in some sort of way. And these students are being forced to acknowledge this Aztec god as sources of power and knowledge, invokes their assistance, and give thanks. That is utterly amazing that a school system in California would force their students to do this. Chris, why do you think that they would require this of these students? What is their purpose?
Well, Mike, you're right that there is a separation of church and state. Now, a lot of people in our country think that's in the Constitution, but it's not. The concept comes from a letter that was written by Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist, where he was saying that the government should not do what you just said. It wasn't to keep Christians from being involved in the political or the government process, which is an excuse that many people use today. Many Christians don't get involved because they say separation of church and state. First, it's not in the Constitution, and a lot of uninformed people think that it is. But second, when Thomas Jefferson was talking about that, he was talking about exactly what you said, Mike. Thomas Jefferson was saying that that the country should not force a religion on its people. And what's happening in the school system, you're exactly right. I've got two kids in college, and Mike, you just wouldn't believe what's going on, not just in colleges, but even in kindergarten, the things that are going on across the country right now. But when a teacher does that, they are forcing that religion. A lot of people don't really believe in demonic activity, but these false gods are really demonic. And when children are forced in class, because just like with my kids, they've been forced to write about things or study things that we would have never had them study had we known that it was going on. When this is going on in a school, they're having these kids call on the name of a demonic god. And there are forces in this world that are demonic and going on around us that we don't see. And our God would never have us call on the name of a demonic god. And it opens up our children to really influence that we would not want in their lives. And there's an agenda. And now, not every public school teacher is bad. There are a lot of great Christians and others that are teaching in public schools. But there are also some wicked people out there who are trying to force their ways upon us, and particularly if you profess to be a Christian.
That's exactly right, Chris, and so well said. When they are saying incantations and chants and so forth to these demon gods, that does open up these children to some very dangerous positions, and including influences that could happen in their lives. In particular, this Aztec god that they are requiring these students to pray to, these Aztecs regularly perform gruesome and horrific acts for the sole purpose of pacifying and appeasing the very beings that their prayers from the curriculum evoke. In other words, here they are praying to these gods, and these gods at the time when the Aztecs were praying to those gods, they were creating or they were performing some very horrific acts of human sacrificing to these gods.
You're right, Mike.
Take their hearts out while they were still alive.
And in many cases, those sacrifices that were being made were children. So here we are having a teacher invoking the names of these demons and having children do it when in many cases, both with Mayans and Aztecs and others, I know you've had to travel, got the chance to travel around the world, Mike. And a couple of years ago, we were in Mexico and went to some of the Mayan pyramids, and there were sacrifices made there too. And many times where those pyramids are, there were altars built. The same thing in Hawaii. There were, I've been to altars in Hawaii where just hundreds, if not thousands of children were sacrificed to these false gods. It's a demonic activity. That's why abortion is so popular in our country today. Satan doesn't want children who were created in the image of God to be born or to live in this world. And folks, we've just got to understand that there is a battle going on for the hearts and minds and the souls of our children. And much of that battle is being waged in the public school system today. And it's time for us to take a stand as parents. We have abdicated, Mike. In many cases, we have a lot of families where both parents are working. And because of that, they send their kids away to daycare and then in many cases to public school at an early age. And we've kind of abdicated our children to the government, if you will, to raise our children. And in the public school system, other organizations like Planned Parenthood and the World Health Organizations and others have seized this opportunity because parents don't pay attention to what's being taught to their children. I was very involved in my kids' school system when they were in public school and in private school and Christian schools as well. And I got to know the teachers. I knew what was being taught, but most parents don't have a clue. We have got to engage. And that's why I believe, and I know, Mike, you've done some shows recently about the superintendent of schools that you have there in Escambia County. I believe the school board is probably one of the most important elected positions in our country. It's one that churches could easily place Christians on the school board. And a lot of the stuff that's being taught, whether it's this or critical race theory or even mask mandates, are coming from local school boards.
That's right. That's right, Chris. So well said. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Let's Face the Issues, normally hosted by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Today, I am co-hosting the show. This is Mike Hill in place of Dr. Youngblood, who is with his son in the hospital right now. And I'm co-hosting with Chris Hughes. Chris and I have been friends for many years. We've done some mission trips together. One we did to India a number of years ago, and Chris travels quite a bit. And in his travels, he works to inform and mobilize pastors and Christians to be proactive in restoring a biblical worldview in their communities and across the nation. And ladies and gentlemen, we must fight and stand for this biblical worldview that right now seems to be dominated by secular humanism. And the reason why I say that seems to be is they can gnash their teeth, they can fight, they can kick and scream all they want, but they will not win this battle. This battle belongs to the Lord, and He is going to win this battle. He's going to be ultimately victorious. In the meantime, we must be soldiers for Him, fighting against this secular humanism that we're seeing, and even this horrific action we're seeing out in California. And Chris, as you said, this is in other states too, where we are seeing a curriculum where the students were being forced to pray to an Aztec god. Utterly unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to join in with your comments or questions, you can call in at 904-831-0917. Okay, Chris, let's change subjects. Let's go on to something else. And this has to do with the Biden administration, which in my mind has been a complete and utter disaster since it began. I will also go on to say I do not believe that it is a legitimate presidency that we're seeing. I do believe in the evidence that we're seeing coming out of many states that there was widespread election fraud, and Biden and his cabinet should not be there right now. It is a cabinet that is doing things that is, I would call it shock and awe of what we're seeing coming from this administration, including the most recent debacle of the disastrous pullout from Afghanistan. Now, I'm reading an article here from the American Institute for Economic Research, and it's by an author, James R. Harrigan. And this is how the article begins. In the wake of the Afghanistan debacle, which could have been avoided with even a hint of executive branch foresight, President Biden needed a win. And how did he chase that much-needed win? He ordered some 80 million American citizens to get vaccinated. This he presented to the country in a condescending temper tantrum broadcast live for all to see. Our patience is running thin, he said. Many of us are frustrated with the nearly 80 million Americans who are still not vaccinated. The article goes on to say, this is not what winning looks like. This looks like yet another president declaring his way to the policy outcomes he wants by executive order. Chris, what is your response to Biden ordering 80 million Americans to get vaccinated?
Mike, I've never been a fan of executive orders. And I mean, I know that they've been in existence for a while, but it really started to blossom under President Obama. And executive orders, in my opinion, are a way sometimes for presidents to circumvent the Constitution or the legislative method that we have for instilling laws. You've been a legislator, and I know you probably would not have been too happy when you were in the legislature and if the governor started just dictating things that he knew the legislature would never approve. And this is just nonsense with what the president's doing, and it's very confusing to the public because the message keeps changing. But like you, I was watching that last week when the president was on national television talking about what he was about to do. And by the way, folks, the only reason he did that was because his actions in Afghanistan were a total failure and the press was eating him up and he needed to do something to switch the narrative in the national news. So he goes on with these vaccination mandates that he's trying to put in place and mask mandates across the country. And I don't believe that he has the power, and I sure hope that businesses and individuals who are being forced in this situation. I just received a text a few minutes ago where a friend of mine asked me to pray for their neighbor because the husband works for a government contractor. And as you know, one of the entities that the president said would have to have complete vaccination among their employees was anybody that wanted to contract with the federal government. Friday of this week is Constitution Day. It's the day that we celebrate and remember when the Constitution of the United States was signed. So one of the things I've been doing this week and encourage others to do is read the Constitution of the United States. I bet most Americans, probably 98 or 99%, have never even bothered to read the Constitution. It only takes about 10 minutes to read the Constitution. It's very short. Even elected officials who swear an oath to office, Mike, when you became a legislator, you swore an oath to protect and defend the Constitution. I know you read it, but most elected officials swore an oath to defend something they've never read. And folks, you know what I found when I was reading the Constitution this week? Nowhere in the Constitution does it say that the President of the United States has the power to force you as an individual, as a citizen of these United States, to get a vaccine. It's not in there. Mike, what he's doing is unconstitutional, and he doesn't have the power to do it. The question is, are we going to let him do it?
Exactly, Chris. That is the whole question. Will you comply? America, will you comply with this unconstitutional executive order? Executive orders were meant to only pertain to the executive branch, not to any other branch, not to American citizens, only to the executive branch. But as you say, under the Obama administration, where they proliferated, President Trump had some also. And now we see Biden, he took it on steroids. I mean, in his first week in office, he issued dozens of executive orders, most of them, if not all of them, with catastrophic results. For example, closing the Keystone Pipeline. Here we were in a position of we were energy independent from anywhere in the nation. In fact, we were exporting oil and gas. And now because of his nonsensical executive order, which, by the way, was unconstitutional, I don't know why the businesses that were operating simply stopped. And I do know that there were a number of lawsuits that were filed, one by a business out of Canada that was sending oil from Canada through the pipeline. They filed a lawsuit. I don't know the status of that lawsuit, saying that Biden did not have the authority to do so, which he did not. Okay, now, let's go back to this article, which is very interesting. It comes out of the American Institute for Economic Research, an article written by James Harrigan. And this is how the article goes. He says, the Biden plan rests on mutually exclusive premises. First, there's the implicit assertion that the vaccines work. Indeed, they work so well that we should force 80 million people to get vaccinated, whether they want to or not. And this, of course, flies in the face of the other presupposition that we need to vaccinate everyone because people are simply not safe otherwise.
Okay, Mike, if I can interrupt you, Mike, that's a good point. And that's been part of the confusion with how the president and his administration have handled this situation. Now, there have been vaccines in place, you know, for many years, and probably like you, Mike, when I was a kid, we had to have certain shots to go to school. And I'm not saying the vaccine is bad. It's the way that they are doing this and the confusing messages that come out. You know, President Biden himself and his vice president, Harris, when they were running for office, said that they wouldn't take the vaccine. Then they get in office and they're going to take it. We were told a year and a half ago, if we would stop going to work and stop going to church for 2 weeks, this would be okay. Then we were told if we wore a mask, it's okay. Then we're told if you get the shot, you don't have to wear the mask. Then we're told that doesn't work and you have to have the shot and have the mask. The message and the narrative changes over and over again, and it's confusing people with what's going on. And the president just does not have the authority to do this. And the way he's doing it is really crazy. I mean, we've got an economy that's suffering already under him. Inflation is just going to start skyrocketing here and already has. Food, gas, meat, all kinds of things are more expensive than they've been in years. It reminds me of the days of Jimmy Carter. And now he says, let's ruin the economy more than it already is hurt by telling people you either get the vaccine or quit their job. And some people I know are going to quit their job before they'll be told to put an experimental drug in their arm. And Mike, you know, again, I'm not criticizing anybody who gets the vaccine. You decide whether or not you want to get it. But a lot of people are concerned because it was rushed through so quickly. I mean, AIDS was an epidemic and has been for decades, and they still don't have a vaccine for that. But yet, in a short period of time, this vaccine is created, and other than the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, the others have this experimental method put in the vaccine, and it scares a lot of people. You know, we don't know what's going to happen to children down the line, to pregnant mothers. There are a lot of scary things about this, and so some people are afraid to get it, and now they're being told, we don't care whether you're afraid or whether you're scared. You won't be able to go eat at a restaurant if you live in New York City. You can't buy groceries. You won't go to work. You can't serve in the military. It's wrong.
It is wrong, Chris.
And sorry, I was starting to preach. I was getting fired up, Mike.
It's okay, Chris. I agree with you completely. And by the way, I have not taken a vaccine, and I'm not going to. And we have a caller on the line. Pastor Davis, who's a friend of mine. Pastor Davis, please come on and join us with your comment or thoughts.
Yes, sir. Congressman Hill, I thank God for you for what you are doing and the other gentleman that's on the line that's giving us the vital information that's so important to the world and especially to the church. Because for me, when I saw Mr. Biden taking the vaccine on national television and Vice President Harris supposedly taking the vaccine, I don't know what went in their arm. I mean, they could have been giving them a vitamin shot. I'm not one that was so easily persuaded by that. And as you said, the numbers that they're putting out there as to the effectiveness of the vaccine, I'm not convinced with that either, because I have known people that right in this area where I live, that after taking the first and second shot, they passed away, or some came down with other serious complications or reactions, I would say, to the vaccine. So I'm not very convinced, but I'm very concerned for the church, because we must needs wake up out of slumber and sleep. It's time for us to really put on the whole armor of God, because I have heard out of Mr. Biden's mouth more than one time, especially during his campaign run, that this is a battle for the soul of America. And for me, Congressman Hill, that's spiritual. I mean, I don't know how other people look at it, but that spiritual, that was a threat to me, basically, against the church people, sitting around slumbering and sleeping instead of praying or watching and fasting and making sure that we were keeping contact with God so that he could lead us through what we are going through. So it's a very serious time that we are living in. And all of these things that you're saying that we're experiencing right now, there's not going to be an end to it unless God steps in and intervenes. Thank you so much.
Amen, Pastor Davis. Very well said. Thank you so much for sharing those thoughts. The church does need to wake up, as you say, out of their slumber, because if they will not, they will be rolled over by this spiritual battle. As you say, it is a spiritual battle we see going on right now. Okay, let's go back to the article. I want to read this as another little portion of the article before we have our break at the top of the hour. The article goes on to say, aren't those who voluntarily took a vaccine already protected? And if not, the vaccines are not all that effective, and mandating them will not make them any more so. If that's not the objective, are we really protecting the anti-vaxxers from themselves? Since when is that an appropriate use of government power? Either way, forcing people to submit to a vaccine they don't want as a condition of their continued employment doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Chris, we have about a minute before we have to break at the top of the hour. What are your thoughts on that? If someone
Mike, you're right.
Already, why do the rest of us have to get vaccinated?
You're right. It doesn't make any sense. And that's what I've never understood. I mean, if you are vaccinated, and if it works, what do you care if I am not vaccinated? If a mask works, why do you care if I'm not wearing a mask? So if you're masked and vaccinated, how in the world am I going to hurt you if what the CDC is telling us the truth, that you can't get sick? But Pastor Davis was right. You can get sick, and a lot of people are still getting sick, and they're dying even after they have the vaccine. So maybe after the top of the hour, we can come back and dig into this.
Very good. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. I'm being joined today by Dr. Chris Hughes, who is a Christian political advocate, Second Amendment defender, and Christian apologist. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dial. We're going to come back after the break at the top of the hour, and we look forward to continuing our discussion and for your calls. This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. I'm Mike Hill and Chris Hughes sitting in for Dr. Youngblood today.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.